If you want a little wisdom, listen to Rabbi Brian. Rabbi Brian.
I kind of feel like Mr. Rogers. I saw the Mr. Rogers documentary. And let me tell you how that really inspired me to do this thing that we're doing right now. I saw the Mr. Rogers documentary, and he, in the late 60s, looked at television and said, we've created this beautiful medium, and we're using it to sell the wrong images. We're selling toy guns to kids. We're making it look like hitting someone in the face with a pie is a good thing. And I was sitting watching this documentary, and I thought, oh my God, that's what I'm trying to do. That's what this Rabbi Brian's Garden Time is. I'm looking at this amazing technology right in front of me. This amazing technology that's right in front of you. And what are we doing with it? And I thought, well, we could use this technology to help with community and to for wisdom. And that's my goal. And I'm really overjoyed that people are joining, people are listening, and you're here. So I'm going to take a breath of air, and part of that is to center me, but also give you a chance to take a breath of air so you can feel like you're here too. So let's take a moment. And I will say, while I'm taking the breath of air, I remember when I was younger and somebody would start a talk by saying they had to center themselves. And I remember thinking, what the hell are you talking about? How are you not in yourself? But as I've gotten older, I've come to realize, you know, I can get a little bit lost from myself. So I'm really glad to center myself. It has been quite a week for me, for all of us. There were the elections, there have been fires, there have been gunshots and more killings, and it is a rough time. It is definitely a time to be alive, and it takes a lot out of us. Okay. So I know what I wanted to talk about today, but I don't know what it is that you wanted to talk about today. So I'm going to start, and please, people are mainly unmuted, and so I can hear you. You can hear me. If you find yourself getting too loud, if there's a dog barking or whatever, please mute yourself. But otherwise, to please join. Oh, and I see some more friends here. Is Rabbi Zach Shapiro is here, and Allison Brown, and John O'Connell, and Ari Eisenberg, and this is fantastic. I'm glad you guys are all here. Here's what I wanted to speak on. I wanted to speak on today. Today is Tuesday. I changed my schedule so that on Sunday I could be at a funeral in New York City for one of my dearest friends. His mother, Barbara, when she was in failing health, she was in palliative care, her body was deteriorating. And she said to David, I was on the phone with him, and she said to David, would you ask Brian if he could do a service for me if it's not inconvenient? And I joked about that with David. You know, I live in Portland. His mother's in New York City. If it's not inconvenient. But of course it wasn't inconvenient because I got myself there. Because really there's no place on this earth that I needed to be more than to be there with my friend David, to support him and to honor his mom, who asked me to be there. So I was thinking about this. I was thinking about the funeral that I was at. And at the funeral, we showed a little bit of a video. And we showed a video of Barbara and her son, Barbara and her son David, who's my friend since we were five. And we showed a video of the two of them wishing some relative of theirs a happiest 80th birthday. They had made a little video and they sent it to this, they sent it to the relative to wish the relative a happy 80th birthday. And I played it at the beginning of the service. So everyone should remember Barbara from a year and a half ago when she was filled with life and she was teasing and singing and joking, and it was Barbara. And we had this little video to start the service. And it made me think this, and this is going to go a little bit, hey, happy Tuesday morning. Let's go really dark, shall we? But it made me think, like right now, this moment is the last video that would be recorded of me. If God forbid something were to happen to me, this moment right now, somebody could play at my funeral. And it would be a moment of, hey, there he is, that's him live. And I had this idea. And introverts, I promise you need not do this exercise aloud with us. But I wanted to ask, what is it? I'm going to give you this, and it's a terrible time frame, and it would be so much easier if you had a lot of time to think about this, and we all had notepads, but we don't. I'm going to ask you, if I were to turn the spotlight on you, if I were to turn the spotlight on you and say, okay, you have 30 seconds to look directly into the camera. You have 30 seconds to look directly into the camera, and I want you to look directly into the camera, and I want you to say, hi, this is me. I'm really sorry that you're watching this video, because if you're watching this video, apparently I've pre-deceased you. And that sucks. Or whatever your words are. I don't know what your words will be. This is kind of an improv game. I'm trying to judge by body language of people leaning forward. I see someone with that, Emily, with their hand on your lip, like you're thinking. I see James is sitting backwards. I'm interpreting that as I don't want to be called on. And I see Alex and Scott, and I don't know. But so Alex and Scott, I'm going to unmute you for a moment. And I'm going to ask you before, like, I'm trying to unmute you. Give me 1 second. There we go. Hi, Alex. Hi, Scott.
Hey there, Rabbi Brian in post-production. So what are your answers for you? If right now, I'll give you 20 seconds. What is it that you would say? Go.
Hello.
Okay, so let's play this game for a moment. Alex, Scott, here's your 30 seconds. What do you got?
You want to talk first?
Okay. I'd say, hi, Mom. I'm sorry. Hi, world. I'm sorry I've passed on. I love my life, and I love seeing the sky and the birds and the mountains and the trees and the ocean. And I love the people I've met. And I've loved the people that have taught me to change my actions in the world. And I wish everyone the best that I can.
That's wonderful. Scott, let me ask a follow-up question because it's a live video. Do you have any regrets? Do you have many regrets?
I regret the things that or the risks I didn't take in my life.
Okay.
Otherwise, I've met the love of my life. I've met great friends. I've had good experiences with some of my family.
And, okay. You're going out not on a negative note.
Yeah.
God forbid something should happen to you today. I do not want to be held responsible for this.
Well, I'll have a video, and I'll be prepared.
Alex, how about for you? You got 30 seconds. Here's the video, Alex.
I would say I love you all, and to those that know me really well, I would just say one thing. Granola was not a mistake.
Okay.
And for those who don't know me, what granola was a very large computer bulletin board service that I ran in the 1990s that caused me great financial distress. but impacted thousands of people in a positive way.
And the bottom line was, it was not a mistake.
It was not a mistake. It was one of those things that personally, I was enriched by the experience. Financially, I was destroyed. And for years, I thought it was a mistake. And it turns out the best thing I ever did for me, for the community, and for everybody.
I can only imagine that people watching this at your funeral, right, would be like, wow, that's cool. I know this is a really difficult topic. I just got a private note here from someone saying, I don't like this at all. And I appreciate that. Emily, you can totally say, no, I don't want to, but what would you?
That's okay. Let's see. Well, here I am. This is a real bummer. I don't like being dead. I'm dead. That's the word I use, because that's it, you guys. I don't regret. I can't say I regret anyway.
Well, that's fantastic.
I don't like being dead. I really wanted to see what happened at the end.
The fear of missing out.
Yeah, I didn't want to miss out.
Yeah.
Hope you guys have a wonderful life.
That's good. That's beautiful, and I like the wave. Thank you. And hi, Alex. I see you there. Hi. You're off screen, so I'm going to assume I'm going to take that as a nonverbal cue. I'm going to keep that as a nonverbal cue. I'm really delighted to see you and to think about that. So thank you guys for playing. Anyone else to put a hand up you want to engage or not on what you would want to say? Okay, we'll leave it at that. Thank you for playing with me on that topic. And that's good.
Hey, Rabbi Brian here in post-production. It was botched a little bit when I did this live. And so here's me taking out the botched parts and picking up where I talk about anger.
Which is anger. Anger. It's funny. I ran a funny is not the right word. Curious. I ran a correspondence course for anger through a prison in California. I made friends with this man James, and I have been pen pal friends for years. Alex, I know you write to James as well. And James and I started a correspondence course about anger, and he served kind of as the TA within the prison, and he would give the lessons to the other inmates, and then they would respond back, and he would send me back the responses, and we kept going. I can't remember, maybe we got to 10 or 15 lessons about anger, which were really interesting. And I tried to talk to people who are on the outside world about anger, and every time I tried to talk to people about anger, it didn't go so well. Nobody wanted to talk about anger. But people kept telling me they wanted to talk about patience. And what they didn't know is that patience is just the lack of anger. And it's really the same exact topic. So when I say I want to talk with us about anger, you might think, oh, well, I don't have a problem with anger. So maybe we reframe it as, let's have a little talk about patience today. I'm going to start with a quote from Aristotle. Aristotle said, anyone can be angry. That is easy. But to be angry at the right person, at the right time, in the right amount, and for the right reason, that's a picture. I drew a picture of a raisin. That is not easy. Anyone can be angry, Aristotle said, but to be angry at the right person, at the right time, in the right amount, and for the right reason, that, Aristotle said, that's not easy. That's not something everyone can do. Anyone can be angry. And I'm going to just do a quick little, I know these answers, but I'm going to see if you got that already. Anyone can be angry, but not everyone can be angry at the right. Can you name that one out? at the right person. Fantastic. To be angry at the right, at the right time, in the right
money,
in the right amount. You want to be angry in the right amount. That's kind of like if you you step on my foot and I take out a baseball bat and I beat you in the head, that's not getting angry at the right amount. It's angry at the right person at the right time, but totally not in the right amount. And then the last one is to be angry for the right
reason.
The right reason. And Aristotle said this, and I'm sure, and you could just show me by a show of hands or just nod along. I'm sure you all have been the recipient of somebody else's anger. Somebody was angry, right? Somebody is angry. They were really angry at someone else, but they're taking it out on you. And the more we can remember that, when I can remember that my daughter, who's 9 years old, when she's angry at me, it's not always about me. She's angry because something happened at school and she couldn't deal with that, so she gets mad at me. But she's getting angry at the wrong person. If I can see other people's anger as coming at, like, you're not mad at me, it can help me from taking it so personally. And similarly, I have to remember that I get angry at the right person. I have to get angry at the right time. I have an article that's coming out. I haven't sent it out yet. But it's a story about a man who was angry at me and didn't tell me about it for 3 years. And he was angry at me, but he wasn't angry at me at the right time. Well, he was angry at me for the 3 years, but it was definitely in the wrong amount as far as I was concerned. And when he finally told me about it, it was the wrong time. And for the right reason. You want to be angry at someone for something that they did. You don't want to be angry at someone for something that they didn't do. Anyone can be angry. That is easy. But to be angry at the right
time.
At the right time, in the right
amount.
In the right amount, for the right reasons, and at the right person. That's not so easy. The last part of Aristotle's sentence there. Aristotle said, that is not easy, and that is not something that everyone can do. That part's interesting. He said, getting angry at the right person at the right time, in the right place, in the right amount, and for the right reason, that's not easy, and it's not something that everyone can do. Angry when somebody's angry at us incorrectly. Moreover, I'm going to say that when we get angry at somebody, when we find we're getting angry at someone, or when we find we have gotten angry at someone, that we can't all be angry at the right. Oh, when we get angry at someone, afterwards, when we're doing an after action review, it's the end of the day and you're thinking, wow, I really let that person have it, is for us to really look. Was that the right person? Was it the right time? Was it really in the right amount? And was that anger really for the right reason? And if it wasn't, and if we missed the mark on any one of those four, that we need to apologize. That we need to apologize to someone if we didn't get angry properly. That covers the little Rabbi Brian teaching part. Do we have questions about this, about patience and anger? Emily, that was a nice sigh.
A friend of mine that I was talking to yesterday was talking about how angry she still was after a whole bunch of years went by over something. And it came up every once in a while for, not always, but, and we were kind of talking about, well, how can you let go of something that it keeps coming up?
Yeah.
How can you let go of it? And I told her that the one thing that helped, and it's not always something that works for me, is that, and because I don't like to do it, and that is to bless somebody. I hate doing it because I don't want to bless somebody I don't like. It just pisses me off, and I don't want to do it.
Nonetheless, you have found that if there's someone who's really annoying you, if you bless them instead, you go that contrary action and you give them a blessing instead, yes. You find that makes it go away.
Well, it helps. Yes. After a while, yes. It's amazing. It kind of deteriorates and resolves the rage that I feel.
It's a great.
Over and over, because sometimes it'll come back and I think, okay, I gotta bless that person, but I don't. And she said, well, how do you do that? I just said, I don't know. I just say bless whatever the person is.
Yeah. So it's there is a part of anger that if we keep ruminating on it, it's like throwing kerosene on the fire, and we can't put it out that way. And I do believe that you're right, that the only thing that can put out anger is love. It doesn't mean that it's always the appropriate thing to do, right? There's a time and a place. There are times that we really should be angry at someone for something. And I know I have seen a lot of people, and I'm guilty of it as well, excuse me one second. I'm guilty of it as well, where I will, pretend like I don't need to be angry in a situation where I really am angry. And I will try to go straight to, oh, this is all for a blessing. And that's putting the cart before the horse. And that can really be detrimental to my own health. So I like the idea of blessing people who have done us wrong, but it's got to be a time and place and to make sure that we aren't hurting ourselves where we should have been angry. I did this to my daughter. She was really being mean, really, really, really being mean one morning. And I said, Annie, that's not appropriate. And I was out shopping and I bought her favorite dinner. And I made her favorite dinner that night. And I said, do you want to know why I made this for you? And she said, why? And I said, because you had a really rough morning and you said some things that I don't think you really meant. And she felt she said, I don't deserve green beans tonight. Mm-hmm. And I did it because it's contrary action. There's something that can dispel anger by love. I'm with you. Oh, I love that. I love that.
The timeliness of this topic, Brian, is very good. Both in terms of what's going on widely politically, but also just for me and Scott personally, you know, we're struggling with a family member who has repeatedly hurt family, who is now asking for our help. And, you know, we're both pretty angry about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, the whole thing of being angry at the right person at the right time, in the right amount for the right reasons is so applicable, because this is something that we are really, really struggling with, because this family member did a very bad thing and continues to do not great things and continues to want to involve us in the drama, I guess, for lack of a better word. And I just think this is really, really, you know, very, very applicable, because we're just so much struggling with what is the right time, the right amount. Yeah. Right reason, because this thing that he did was so big and so bad that you can't just go, oh, I forgive
you. Yeah.
I love you, because what he did really hurt a lot of people in profound, long-lasting, won't go away ways.
Right. And we have to look at in what's going on in this country, in the northern hemisphere here, which is impacting everyone, is there are people that we are angry at, and for good reasons. But how do we get angry at them, and what do we do, and does enough wrong justify being wrong back? And of course, I have to think, no, we can't fight violence with violence. We have to, you know, when they go low, we must go high. And it's doesn't feel fair, and it's not fun, and I'm still mad, but I can't take it out on the wrong people.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Thank you, Alex.
Yeah, Alex, I think one of the things that I that comes up for me is if somebody has done something really, really wrong, really bad, I have to do something. At the same time, I have to set a boundary so that I don't allow whatever the bad thing is to happen again, or at least
try to keep it from happening.
Yeah, there's some limits at the same time.
I'm gonna interrupt our discussion because I'm looking at the time. And it looks like it's time to say goodbye, because our time comes up. Not to say goodbye like that death exercise part, but just to say goodbye for now. And I wish everyone peace in this week and abundant patience and a sense of humor, because a sense of humor can help us to have a little bit more patience to look at the world in front of us and to see the absurdity as kind of maybe even fun. I thank you guys for coming by today. Really, this is a treat for me, and I thank you. And I'm gonna unmute everyone. And Alexa, who is off screen, you're unmuted too. And Broad, you're unmuted. And Sari's unmuted, and I think everyone is almost unmuted. So everyone, oh, and Brummel is getting a belly scratch. I can see that.
Love that dog.
Yeah, there we go. And let's all take a moment to wish each other well. And bye, Alexa, bye, Emily, bye, James, bye, Alex, bye, Scott, bye, Rhonda, bye, Sari, bye, Rona, bye, Kathy, bye, Broad, bye, Doug, bye, Alex.
Rabbi Brian here in post-production. Thanks so much for watching, and make sure to listen in on the Resistance Bible Study podcast.
The Resistance Bible Study.
The Resistance Bible, Bible Study podcast.
Join me. Engage. Resist.
If you want a little wisdom, listen to Rabbi Brian. Rabbi Brian!